Matthew 6. Lead us not into temptation is the next. We talked a great deal about debt, right? We don't have any more doubts about what debts are. But the lead us not into temptation is probably intellectually the most interesting part of the prayer. And what he's praying, what the prayer is lead us not back into the curse. Or, I don't know if we've ever studied this, probably one of the things we've never studied, but it's lead us not to look towards Mount Ebal, but rather toward Mount Gerizim. Remember the blessing and the curse as he under the promise. And Mount Ebal is always, even in the peoples, even hundreds of thousands of years ago, you never looked. Mount Ebal was always meant you look to self, and Gerizim is you look to God. The fundamental thing that the modern culture doesn't understand, including those of us sitting in this room, is that we are fundamentally, completely, and totally under the terms of a curse. We are legally cursed. And it's not something that can be ever dealt with, negotiated, or improved. We now live in a society because of the advancement in technology that gives us the appearance that there is improvement. And we have the idea of social Darwinianism, in which they make believe that society is evolving in the same way that they make believe that man evolved. The truth is that there's only devolution. We're getting worse. But we can't see it because the God of this world has blinded our minds. And he's blinded our minds fundamentally in this generation, and I think the last generation, to the point where the real evidence of the curse is that we are even taught in our schools, and our children here even believe that there are no moral absolutes. And because there are no moral absolutes, it's the evidence to me that we're right near the end. Even when we were in the worst, and throughout history, the worst stages of degradation, there was still a societal belief that there were moral absolutes. That's what makes, one of the main things that makes us as a people fundamentally different. We believe there is a truth, there are absolutes, and they are worth dying for. Well, that's now, in this generation, the rarest thing in the universe. John Song, The Situational Ethics, is, written 20 years ago, is still even more appropriate today. And that's the evidence to me that we're right at the end, because there's no other place for the human race to go. And it's the evidence, it's the total evidence of the depth of the deception of the curse. The idea that you could go through life and believe that there were no moral absolutes. There wasn't a fundamental truth that didn't change. And we're seeing, it's not going to change because of television, or it's not because they take prayer out of school, or all those things are meaningless. It changes, that has come into focus and come into being because the Holy Spirit is doing it, so that you would be tested, so that the body of Christ would be tested. But you individually must believe, and you must cause the people in your Bible studies to know that you are under a curse, you cannot be improved, and they are under a curse, and they cannot be improved. Otherwise, you will not be able to teach the meaning of lead us not into temptation. Now, why? Well, because from God's perspective, and that's what we must look from, the worst thing that you as an individual can do, the thing which denies his contract and his sacrifice, is to look inward. Because automatically, you will be deceived. There's no doubt. I mean, it isn't negotiable. The moment you look inward, you're deceived. The only time that you're told to look inward in the scriptures, it's only to see that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. To look inward with impunity means that you have lost the idea that there are moral absolutes. It means that you believe that you can be improved. It means that you believe that we're not under a curse. Therefore, it means that you do not believe in God. You cannot believe in God and believe there are no moral absolutes. They're mutually exclusive. So the curse is pervasive, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, so that they don't believe they're under a curse. If because everything then has to be excused, it has to be Oli's fault. It has to be environment. It has to be societal. It has to be education. We can improve it if we improve their society. Well, it's just horseshit. I can improve nothing. Everybody understand that? So lead us not into temptation fundamentally means lead us not back into the place which is cursed. Let us not look at Mount Ebal, but rather let us look at Mount Gerizim.
Was like Ebal was like a mount of temptation or something? Or what exactly?
It's the mountain of cursing.
The cursing.
Yeah, the curses. Look, let's go there real quick. Deuteronomy something, blah, 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 blah. Do you hear that? What did I say?
Right, I wonder if that's the word evil came.
No. Go to Deuteronomy 27. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Excuse me. Somebody else read.
And it shall be on that day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be when you be gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones, which I can command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build...
Now notice. Notice anything yet. Okay.
And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon it. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak, saying to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any man or beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that takes reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen.
Okay, then we won't do it, but the blessings of obedience from Mount Gerizim, just read 3 through 6. That's the summary of the blessing.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall the fruit of thy body, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
Okay. Ebal really means the stony place. And the idea is that the stony heart, it's the stony, barren place. And the stony heart is inward. Now, Jesus is it's hard to explain, but it's he is in us by faith. He's not, I can run all over all day saying that, well, I'm the Spirit of Christ is in me and therefore I'm anointed or some other horseshit. You have to look outward in order to see Gerizim. You have to look inward in order to see Ebal.
Yeah, and as you look in, your heart is holy, and you look out.
Right. Now, there's a jillion scriptures that we could go to all about the stony places and the stony heart and da-di-da-di-da. But it's from God's standpoint, to commit apostasy is to look inward.
What does apostasy mean?
Apostasy is to fall away. Apostasis, to fall away from the foundation. Is that what it is? Yeah, that's what
stasis
it is.
Stasis is like a...
Yeah.
Fall away from that.
Apo is the what... Away. So... I have denied the foundation when I commit apostasy. I have denied the foundation when I have committed blasphemy.
Did the rabbis tie this in with the heart, stony heart thing?
Yeah.
Ebal?
Yeah.
Is the cursed thing there mean
the what
you're
thing?
Be killed by God, the curse?
Curse doesn't not mean you're going to be killed. Curse means you're already dead. That's why the Gentiles were considered dead. That's why to go into the outer darkness was to go into the Gentiles. When he said, let the dead bury the dead, it's let the Gentiles take care of that. So, from the spiritual standpoint. There's so many things to tie this in, and I'm so tired. But you remember in the first fruit readings where it's, we have not given any of our bread for mourning? Okay. I cannot look inward without mourning, spiritually, by definition. Because I cannot look, and I have not given any of my bread for the dead. Well, let's look at that. Go to Deuteronomy. It's right, 26.
Mourning, I mean, that's the word. That's often.
Huh?
That word mourning is often.
Yeah.
So it's
self-seeking of the worst way. 26, Deuteronomy 26. In verse 14, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God, and I have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Now, I by definition gave the bread of God to the dead if I go inward.
Yeah. Amen. You give it to yourself.
And if I go inward for any purpose, then... And hear me, this is why this ties in so closely to forgive us our debts. You cannot keep from going inward if you are in debt. It's impossible. And whether it's debt to your plans or to your judgments or to your opinions or to your ideas or to your judgments, whatever it is, you cannot go. You cannot keep from going inward when you're in debt, period. So some of you, as I said last night in Bananas, I got really frustrated because it was like to talk to some people talking about abandonment was they've never once in their entire life experienced what abandonment was. So they have no basis for it. To abandon self is as, you know, as I said, is asking a pig to fly. Now that's why you cannot abandon self until you see the depth of the curse. You cannot stop from going into debt until you see the pervasiveness of the curse. And so therefore you cannot do anything but go into temptation, which we've seen ample evidence of, when you still believe that you're not under the curse, one, you continually go in debt, two. So the Lord's Prayer, it's got some pretty meaty stuff in it. Do you understand that the flesh is no longer to be tested at all? Look at Luke 22:28. Somebody go read that quickly.
Here are they which continue with me in my confessions.
That's enough. You are they that have continued with me. He's talking to his disciples. You are the, and it's right before the end, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations. What are the temptations of Christ? He wasn't talking about the temptation in the wilderness, but that was part of it. He was talking about, if you read carefully the New Testament, you find out that the mystery of Christ is that he never went inward. If he ever did, on one or two occasions, he asked the Father to forgive him. Therefore, he can say, I and the Father are one. I do whatever I see my Father do. There is no separation because he never, ever, 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 ever went inward. Well, you know, you remember the thing that became a cliche around here for a long time about going into the bank But you forgot the meaning of it. I mean, Christ was on the other side of the street, and he said, I'm hungry. He didn't have any money. So, Father, I'm hungry. You forgot about it. Man, on the other hand, has two options. I'm hungry, don't have any money, I'm going to go rob the bank. I'm hungry, don't have any money, I'm going to go over to Burger King and get a job. Both of them are equally evil. Both of them go inward. Do you think it's possible to live by simply saying, Father, I'm hungry, and forget about it? My answer to you is yes. It's the only way to live. So, above all things, lead us not into temptation. And in the poetic movement of that prayer, it says, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. So, by definition, since there's an article before evil, I mean, there's no question it should be translated the evil one. The only question is, who is the evil one? As long as you don't believe you're of the Antichrist, as long as you don't believe you're the child of the snake, you'll never understand the Lord's Prayer. You'll always, you know, keep me from looking at women in short skirts or some other idiotic thing. You stay locked in the dominion of the flesh and never know and never can ever, ever, ever experience and be a part of those disciples that continued with him in his temptation. His temptation was, even though he was, he all power was delivered over to him, he didn't use it, except on a few, very few occasions, so that he proved to himself that he had it. And he dropped it as soon as he had it. So to continue with him in his temptation is to continually walk in the state of giving everything away, emptying yourself.
Well, then why didn't it say lead us into that temptation? Why didn't it say lead us into that temptation?
It says lead us not into the temptation.
That's what I'm saying. Why didn't it say lead us into it?
Into self?
No, into, like, you're talking about his temptation.
Because this isn't talking about his temptation. It's different.
It's talking about self.
It's talking about self. Read the rest of the sentence.
Yeah, and not into...
No, it's two different words. It's the same thing. Let's go to the penultimate one of this is James 1. This is where everybody gets confused. James 1 verse 13 and 14. I think. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. How do you endure temptation? For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away out of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, you understand what draws? It's no longer I that live, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's the sin. We went through this last night. Do you understand your mind isn't a thing? Your mind is neutral. Your mind is just a bunch of chemicals and electrical signals and protoplasms and stuff. It doesn't do anything. It's not anything. It's just sort of there.
Gray matter.
It's gray matter. And it has, and since you're a vessel for a deity, it's either the God, the Antichrist, or Christ.
That's probably not an accident that it's gray.
Yeah. And the Antichrist, from his beginnings in you, attempted to cause you to believe that you existed. He's been masquerading as you for your entire life. You're saying you don't exist? There's only two men in all of history, Adam and Christ? And this other masquerader, this thing, this snake? It was snake was empowered. Remember when Adam named the names, resurrected the snake, gave snake life. The only thing that gives snakes the snake life is words.
There's only one place words are used.
And there's only one. There's only one. That's why I keep saying, don't you understand? That's why Jesus and John the Baptist kept you sons of the serpent. He didn't call them. Jesus didn't address them as, oh, you, Doug, or you sons of the serpent. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, if they were sons of the serpent and they knew it, there wouldn't be any need to warn them. The point was, they didn't know they were sons of the serpent. That's what the role of Elijah's ministry, that's what the role of every man that preaches the word of God is to reveal who the evil one is, when that wicked one shall be revealed, who set himself up in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Don't show anybody else. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. Now, back again. Don't you understand? It's always been either Christ. You've always, the human race has always been a vessel for deity, either Christ or the Antichrist. There isn't any individual identities or free will. That's just illusionary garbage. There's only the will of Christ expressed in abandonment of self. That means you're led of the Spirit. Or the will of Satan expressed in your ideas and opinions and plans. It isn't negotiable. These idiots casting demons out of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Blithering idiots. Let's just so you can understand it. Go to maybe you can understand it better in this context. Go to 2 Thessalonians. It's talking about the day of Christ, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, the day of Christ cannot come unless there be a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You understand something? Well, I think I've said this before, but maybe the impact will hit you tonight more so. I have searched every possible place that I can conceive of, in ancient writings and modern writings. I have never before seen anyone teach that you are the Antichrist. That the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition is revealed, and until that revelation happens, the falling away, the day of Christ, cannot come. Now, on the other hand, everyone that I've ever told that they were the Antichrist, whether they're the most skeptical reporter or anyone that was hungry for truth, they've all understood it almost instantly, except stealth.
Yeah. You know, I told you about that book I was reading, that guy says that too.
Oh, that's unusual. That's good.
I didn't give you that book. It's called the Apocalypse Conspiracy.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Do you hear taps?
I mean, do you understand how many books have been written about that? Nobody ever concentrates or puts any attention that he's showing himself he's God. They always say he's showing the world he's God. He's not showing the world, Jack. He's showing himself that he is God, just as you are.
Present tense.
Right. Showing himself that he is God.
And there's only one way to do that, and that's to look inward. Opposing and exalting
himself.
Called God.
You got it? Now, that's why when we see this, we can do nothing but glory in the cross. When we see this, we know we are under the curse. When we see this, we even suspect what is in a lot of the ancient writings that Eve didn't just eat of the apple, she did the dirty, big no-no. Anyway, that's a long story. I don't want to get into that. It's not, that has nothing to do with doctrine. But Jesus himself calls us children of the devil. John the Baptist says that we're sons of the serpent. He wasn't speaking
metaphorically.
Or for that dispensation.
Yeah, dispensation. It's not like a sign of the zodiac.
Or he didn't really mean it.
What he meant to say.
Now, lead us not into temptation, into that apostasy. To the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. Repentance is the gift of God, but repentance doesn't come until you know. That's why.
But isn't that asking for repentance?
Ouch! 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 Okay, let's go to 1 John. We could probably spend about 43 years studying Lord's Prayer. It seems like in bananas we have. Verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, technon, darling infants, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, that's adolescence, because you've known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Notice that is not in the scriptures. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, the reason they're all mixed up, you know, it goes from little children, it starts, that's not mixed up, but then it goes to adolescent to fathers, or fathers to adolescents, to young men, to back to young men. The reason it mixed up is because that's sort of, it's chaos. Your spiritual development is always chaotic. You have no, there's no linear development. It appears, I'm a little child, no, I'm a father, no, I'm a little kid, no, I'm an adolescent, no, I'm that, no. Until you finally get your mind off of it totally. And say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't feel like talking anymore. I want to eat a pizza. You stop going inward.
And when you know who it is, you go, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's just you.
Yeah.
Oops. Hit the road,
Chuck. Yeah, when Luther woke up, what happened was he was looking in the mirror.
That's right.